Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. With me this week, post-Halloween, is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
Great. Here we are in the beginning of November. My favorite holiday has passed, but now we're on to Thanksgiving before Christmas. So here we are. We are recording this during Game 7 of the World Series as Chris Bryant is he safe or out? I cannot see.
He's safe.
Chris Bryant is, well, we'll see how this goes. So, sorry, this might be a little bit attention deficit disorder podcast as keep an eye on Game 7. The most exciting two words in sports, Game 7, nothing better than that.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I've said the best Game 7 is hockey in the NHL, but a baseball Game 7 when done right. And this so far is being done right. Oh, he might be. Oh, let's see. Are they going to challenge this? He comes down. He's safe. He's safe. He got that foot in. This is ridiculous what that's going on. Yeah. So let's start off with baseball since it is in the minds and in the viewership ratings of America. Game 7, the Indians took a commanding 3-1 lead, and then the Cubs have rattled off 2 wins in a row. Sunday night was historic for a couple reasons. First, it was the first win in a World Series game by the Cubs in since 1945 at Wrigley Field. The last, was it 71 years, something like that? Since the last Cubs World Series winning game, not series, but game. So that was historic. And then the Cubs were able to club their way into a Game 7 by winning 9-3 over the Indians on Tuesday night. So here we are, Game 7, two franchises, the longest active franchises without a championship, the Cubs and the Indians. History will be made tonight. It's just that simple.
It's exciting. So 1-1 game now.
Yeah, it's a one-run game. You know, they've been talking about how Lackey and Lester and Arrieta are all in the bullpen, so they'll come at any time. I mean, the Cubs' bullpen is weaker than the Indians. The Indians just need to get a lead, and they would bring in Andrew Miller for, like, 4 innings, and then they would bring in the back of their bullpen, Sean Allen. But the Cubs have to rely on starters at this point. I mean, their middle relievers are okay, until you get to Chapman. So we'll see if the Indians are able to do anything after this inning. But yeah, really exciting series, and more so for the business of baseball. Actually, Sunday night, the Cubs-Indians game, which was very close, actually finished before the football game and had a higher rating than Sunday night football. When people talk about how the ratings have dipped in the NFL, when the World Series game beats them.
When the World Series is over, the NFL is going to be out of excuses. Because they've had the election cycle. They've had the World Series to blame. They've had everything to blame but themselves.
That's very true. That's very true. And their public image is not taking is not doing well. We talked a little bit off air about Huff, the kick returner for the Eagles, and now you have news that Cam Newton publicly talking about, oh, this is a deep ball. Oh, boy. Oh, no. The Cubs are going to take
off the base of the wall.
Cubs are going to take a big lead. So now it's 3-1. Yikes. This is getting a lot closer, or a lot farther away from the Indians. So in any case, Cam Newton publicly chastising Roger Goodell, wanting a meeting about a low hit.
Yeah, well, that's not how it works.
No.
The CEO doesn't come down to the factory floor and take complaints.
No, but he was able to get a meeting with him, and then apparently at the end of the meeting, Cam Newton's quote was, "I got my point across to him." So take that for
whatever. Oh, yeah, you got your point across, but if you're going to be a runner, you're going to be treated like one. He wants to be treated like Tom Brady. He's not a pocket passer.
No. Especially when he runs to the, especially on a two-point conversion, when he runs to the goal line, stutter steps, and then gets a concussion because he stopped.
He's doing an interview in a suit with a hat with a feather in it. I mean, you know, he's like a prima donna.
I mean, most we've talked about this. Skill players in the NFL are peacocks, and he's definitely one of them.
I don't think it's going to change anything because there's other quarterbacks that have had you know, more hits not flagged than he has.
True.
This year alone, so.
Yeah. So interesting. So interesting news on that in that respect. So
You know, the victim status is very popular today.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But getting back to Huff, I mean, this guy's a piece of work, right? He says that every athlete, I heard a press conference he had. He said every athlete carries a gun.
Well,
I mean, the guy is absurd, and he needs to protect his wife and his child. I don't think he was smoking weed with them in the car. 18 miles over the speed limit. I mean, you know, dude, what an hollow point bullets. I mean, he's in New Jersey. They don't mess around with, you know, seized guns.
No, definitely not. Huff was pulled over for speeding and with marijuana in the car. Something akin to Sheldon Richardson, except they could not find anything, any paraphernalia on Richardson. He was just driving really fast with a 12-year-old boy, girl? Nobody's quite sure.
Something like that. On no seatbelt, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, and Richardson got, I think he got four games, one game. I forget what he got.
Has the NFL suspended Huff yet?
Not yet. Because the Eagle, Doug Peterson, the coach of the Eagles, has already said he's going to play him unless he's suspended. Which I'm sure that's going to come down soon. But and then it just came out a survey among NFL players that 1 in 5 have usually smoked marijuana prior to a game, and the
is weed a big deal anymore? I mean,
oh sure. Sure. I mean,
think,
yeah. Well, I mean, how many states have legalized it? How many are going to have it on the ballot?
No, that's what I'm saying. So it's not considered what it was 20 years ago.
No. It's not reefer madness anymore. It's definitely streamlined culture. It's part of the main culture. So that is all hurting the NFL right now, along with Thursday night games, Monday night games, and don't forget, later in the season, there's going to be Saturday night games as the Indians finally get out of the inning, giving up 2 runs in the lead. Andrew Miller is warming up on the bullpen, and let's see what they can do in the bottom.
The door is creaking shut.
It is. It really, really is. I will say this, as a Met fan, from a Met fan's perspective, you kind of want the Cubs to win, and I'll tell you why. Championship hangover. I mean, you look at the Royals 2 years ago against the Giants. They were 90 feet away from at least tying the game in a game 7, and they didn't do it. And so they had that drive. We got to make it back. We got to go back. And they did, and they won the World Series. So if a team wins that really is expected to win, and the Cubs were expected to win from the very beginning of the season.
Oh, absolutely. They were the favorite the whole year.
Hot, big, big favorites to win. So they pull that out. And then next year, first of all, 106 years, you've heard it all, 106 years since a World Series, all this crazy stuff, and now they've got the World Series. It's going to be a championship hangover because everybody's going to be pretty like, hey, we got it, you know, and then...
Well, they've got the momentum.
They've got the momentum. So if you're a Met fan, you kind of want the Cubs because then next year it'll be a little bit more of an easier road to the World Series if you're a Met fan, but... You know, I don't know. I still kind of want the Indians to win. First of all, I don't like it when teams win championships on the road. It's a muted celebration. Like, you don't...
But baseball is not really a home field advantage sport, is it?
Well, you get last up. You get last ups, last chance. You can use your best bullpen pitcher whenever you want, whereas on the road, the team on the road has to save their... closer or their best bullpen ace for when they have the lead. So it's definitely different in that respect. And that's a bit of a home field advantage. But just when it's over, you want to hear the cheers. You want to hear...
Oh, sure. Well, that's you know, an ideal situation. But you take a win wherever it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. It'd be muted. It's like, hey, they won, but like you don't get the full effect. And even when they show the camera back, and you know the crowd's full at the stadium, and they're watching on the big screen, it's just not the same. That's all. That's all. That's my thing. So
I heard bars were charging cover fees to come watch the game.
$250.
That's ridiculous.
Just to be in the bar with other people to watch near Wrigley Field in
right.
Wrigley. In the Wrigleyville section of Chicago. So,
well, it's $2 for every year they weren't in the World Series. They didn't win.
That's an excellent way of looking at it. Good point.
It's cheaper.
It is true. So that's the baseball. And like I said, it's been quite the topic in terms of ratings. America is enthralled. And this is the kind of series to see two droughts. You know, I was looking back at old ratings, and the things that really draw the attention of the nation usually involve the Yankees and also just basically two teams that are like have a long history but not a storied history. You know, you think back to 1991 and the Braves and the Twins. You know, the Twins were originally the Washington Senators. The Atlanta Braves have been
right.
the longest longest franchise in continual use. Like, basically, the Reds came first, but the Reds had, like, 2 or 3 years off, like, back in, like, the
right.
late 1800s. So, I mean, so there, two old teams, and they were playing in
right.
the World Series. And here's two old teams playing in the World Series again, so.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what I say. So, let's move over to the NFL, talking about them. Week 8 of the NFL came and went. Tie, back-to-back weeks, first time since 1994, I believe. Or 97.
What does that do for ratings?
I don't know.
And how do you tie in football of all sports? I mean, you gotta have a shootout type thing where you have to, you know, from they have to change the rules. That's ridiculous.
Or just keep going.
I mean, they should do just use the college rules.
The only thing I don't like about that is that, like, I don't like.
Well, what about the 2-point play? I mean, you got to do something. You can't end in a tie in football. That's ridiculous.
I agree, but again. The problem we see is that the the Redskins missed a kick from short distance.
Well.
And apparently what's happening is a lot of, and they actually have pinpointed it to, I say it's still the confidence of the 33-yard extra point that, you know, they're asked to do longer kicks. But apparently what's happening is scouts are looking for kickers with stronger legs who can kick farther distances. Because basically 33 yards you're going to kick on pretty much every touchdown, and they don't have to worry about those close kicks. So during practice, these kickers aren't kicking short distance field goals, extra quote-unquote extra point field goals from the old way. And so when they get close, they're like, I don't know what to do with this. That's like using a bazooka at close range.
Well, then you got to blame the coaching staff for that.
Well, I think that's part of it, and you know, I had a feeling that the rules had something to do with it, and I was right in that respect.
Well, kickers are kickers; they're not players.
Well, they are. They're very fragile, and especially you're telling them, "All right, you have to kick from even farther back all the time, pretty much." You know, it's not going to help them, especially when they have to go on for one play. They get frozen.
Well, to see Janikowski miss two, I mean, that's unusual.
That's very unusual.
In that Raider game. And yeah. That caused the coach to go for the touchdown, and the second time this year it worked.
Right. Three games went into overtime in Week 8. One of them ended in a tie. One almost ended in a tie, and the other one could have as well. But the Raiders with a, I believe, what was it, franchise high? Franchise high for penalties called against them? Something crazy like 10.
I saw that, maybe more.
Yeah. And that kept the score closer than it really should have. I mean, Derek Carr had over 500-yard passing, most passing yards by a Raider in history.
I think they were over 600 total yards.
Which is something insane. Don't forget, this is the team that was built by, this is the franchise built by Al Davis of, you know, throw it far. Oh, how is that a foul ball? Wow. Rajai Davis just hit a ball and it looked almost like it hit the bag, but apparently it's a foul ball. It hit the line. I don't know. Can you challenge
Ooh,
that?
Ooh, looks like it caught the corner.
Can you challenge that? That's I guess you can't. Wow, that's going to be one of those things that might haunt them if they lose this. really, really, because Rajai Davis is a speed merchant. Anyway, the Raiders, the score lies to what the Raiders did offensively. The score should have been something like 40-24, and nowhere near overtime. Falcons won at home against the Packers 33-32 in a close game. Jets finally got off the schneid 31-28 at Cleveland. That game was a lot closer on score-wise than it was supposed to be. Saints were able to pull one out at home against the Seahawks. Patriots keep up their winning ways over the Bills. Broncos beat the Chargers. And, of course, the really big marquee game that was very close. Cowboys win in overtime 29-23 over the Eagles.
Yeah, that was an exciting game.
That was. Well, unfortunately, most of America wasn't watching it, including myself. All I know is that the Cowboys came back in that game, and then they lost the lead.
I think the cold weather will save the NFL ratings because, you know, it's still nice outside. People can do other things. It's got to be something.
I absolutely agree with you, and especially now, you know, once the calendar turns over to November, basketball is just starting. It's still early. Hockey's just starting. It's still early. The NFL is king in November and December, and of course we know it's king in January as well. So this early part of the season, now you're really seeing that people have so many different options, and not just adults, just across the board. Young people, teenagers, early 20s people, and people in their early 20s, a lot of other things to do when they can, you know, I don't know how much of the ratings can really be picked up by stuff like Red Zone or mobile apps or anything like that. So I think that also, I don't think people are watching the NFL less. I just don't think they're sitting at home watching the NFL currently. But I think I agree with you. Once the weather turns colder, holiday season starts coming up, you know, people are going to want to hang out. And a very shocking
game. Well, a lot of flags you were talking about in some games, but in general, the penalties are, and then you get these reviews that waste time, and then the commercials before and after kicks. It just gets to be a bit much.
But the big shocker, I would say, the Bears 20-10 over the Vikings on Halloween night. Bears led that game the whole way. Jay Cutler went from almost retired to now a save. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, all those weeks rest. I mean, this guy, he's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
You know, he's aggressive, and when he's on, he looks like the best. And when he's off, he looks horrible.
Yeah.
So he's highly unreliable. But I think the Vikings are like the Eagles. Unless they get special teams and, defensive scores or whatever, they just can't muster enough points.
I agree. And, you know, it really is a one-sided offense with Jay Cutler. And here we go. Wow. 4-1 Cubs.
There
on a leadoff homer by, who was that, Javier Baez? Yeah.
There you go.
I think we're going to have to say the Chicago Cubs are now the World Series champions. I know we still have the half game. It's at the halfway point in the game. But I mean 4-1. Because it looks like they're talking to David Ross. He's going to come in. If David Ross is coming in, that means John Lester's coming in. Unless the Indians can get on base and run amok on Lester, I don't like their chances. Kluber's out, and I'm guessing here comes Andrew Miller. Kluber, he's pitching third game pitching in the last 9 days. Nowadays, that's unheard of.
Right.
And he just left that one out of the plate. Wow. So,
They've got months and months to rest up. So.
I agree. I'm going to say it right now. Congratulations, Chicago Cubs. And as a Met fan, I'm kind of happy because let's move on. Our turn next. So who do you like in week 9 of the NFL? Who are you picking? Best bets of the week?
Well, I'm liking the Falcons.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
And what's the line on that?
The book, that line's 3.5.
Okay, 3.5 Falcons.
So Falcons are favored, yeah, on the road in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking them. I'm actually liking the Giants over the Eagles. That line's 2.5.
Right.
I'm thinking the Ravens over the Steelers. That line's 2. So it's in Ravens. And, of course, without Big Ben. who I heard was doing some kind of throwing, which is amazing, only a few weeks after this meniscus operation.
Right. Now,
he's not ready to play, but...
Well, they said he's going to, you know, he's the time, they weren't going to say he's out for the season, and they weren't going to say he's ready next, but so they're really pushing this.
I'm thinking 4 weeks.
So you like Baltimore. Now, you were talking earlier, and you've talked about this in past years, about the Bruner theory. Can you once again inform us about the Bruner theory?
Yeah, the Bruner theory is after week 9 and on, so halfway through the season, second half of the season, the home team between Pick'em and 2.5 getting.
Mm-hmm.
So the Raiders are Pick'em at home against the Broncos.
Right.
So, of course, each year, you know, these different theories, you know, have to prove themselves because the NFL does change. And so we'll see. But that would be the pick would be coming in this year for me, the Raiders. So, but they just can't stop anybody.
All right. So, yeah, so the Raiders not able to stop anybody. Okay.
Yeah. So let's see what happens with that Bruner pick.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. And you said that the Raiders at home are the dog. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's a pick'em with the Raiders at home, yeah. And the Raiders have been, a much better team than they've been in years past.
They have been. Oh, boy, have they been. Really, they almost seem to be the only credible threat, sort of, against the Patriots, because it looks like it's going to be the Patriots very much down the line.
And speaking of the Patriots, they dealt their premier linebacker there in the last year of his rookie deal. It's only making 400,000+.
Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins,
yeah,
first round pick.
I mean, that guy's a stud. So, you know, he's amazing, Belichick. And he figured he didn't want to pay him the franchise tag coming up, so why not get a pick for him now?
But the thing is that because the pick was so low, it was very surprising. But they're saying because apparently Jamie Collins liked to improvise, he would go off the reservation, if you will, on the field.
Off the script.
He'll basically do what he wants, to which Hugh Jackson, the coach of the Browns, says, we like the way that he goes off script. So it works for us.
Well, when you have no victories, you know, you take any help you can get.
Right. And I guess in a soft, you know, in some way, what's his face? Belichick has a soft spot for the Cleveland Browns. Because he keeps on giving especially giving the Browns all these chances. Like he sends these guys, you know, picks, and he sends them, players and all this stuff. But they can't.
And nothing helps.
No, it's the system, I guess. It really, really is the system.
Well, they're still in the NFL futures. They're like 5-2, 2.5-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Patriots, and then. A whole bunch of other teams that are similar.
I think the Cowboys at least can go. It's a wide-open NFC, and the Cowboys look like the best of the bunch.
Yeah, but can they beat the Patriots?
That remains to be seen. Once upon a time, there was a young quarterback who was given the starting position after an injury, led his team to the Super Bowl, and beat a veteran offensive quarterback.
Right.
No. So it might be history repeating itself in some way, if that were the case. All right, well, Dad, thanks very much for joining me this week.
Okay, son.
For what is probably going to be a Chicago Cubs World Series win. 106
oh,
years
yeah.
later.
Party time in the Windy City.
Definitely. Poor White Sox will now be overlooked, because the news coming out of the White Sox is, while the Cubs are doing all this, so the White Sox have changed their name to Guaranteed
what?
Low Rate, or Guaranteed Rate Field. It's no longer U.S. Cellular Field. They got bought by, you know, Guaranteed Rate, like one of those mortgage, you know,
yeah.
low rate. But the problem is the logo. The word rate is inside of a red arrow that's pointing down.
What?
It's pointing, and they actually, after seeing it and doing mock-ups, the White Sox went, whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that we're going to have a giant arrow pointing downwards as the logo of our stadium? So they actually said they wanted a redesign. They wanted MLB to say, you know, to give them a reprieve and redesign the logo. But apparently MLB, and I think that this is a bit of justice, said no. You wanted to name your stadium after the highest bidder, and it happened to be some online, you know, website. You get what you get. You know, I understand, you know, some of the stadium names, it works. Coors Field in Colorado, that works. That's just one of those names that work. But then the Indians are playing at Progressive Field. It's just, it's not the same, you know. The Twins are at Target Field. But, I mean, there's something to be said for Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium, Camden Yards, Wrigley Field.
Yeah, but, you know, baseball is supposed to be a pure sport. So it is bothersome to hear all these different names.
Yeah. You know, what was once Enron Field, now Minute Maid Park. Was it Global Life Park where the Rangers play?
You can't keep up with them all.
No. You know, I prefer ones that are named after people, like something like Turner Field, even though Turner Field is now closing after only 20 years. Turner Field is named after a guy. It's named after a person.
Well,
sounds pretty good.
City Field makes sense.
City Field works, you know. City Field works for the Mets, but still, it does fall in line with like the Coors Field, but. You know, then you get way off base. You know, Comerica Park. Eh. But yeah, guaranteed rate field. I guess they just, you know, I don't know. So poor White Sox.
That's why it's logic.
Yeah, poor White Sox. They've always been, the White Sox have been the Mets of Chicago. They've always been second rate in the city.
They're stepchildren.
They are. They came second, and even though they've won last, no, it's just not looking good for them. In any case, thanks very much again, Dad, for joining me.
You're welcome.
All right, and congratulations to Andrew Danish, our intro and outro man, a big Cubs fan. And Andrew, please enjoy your new World Series champion, Chicago Cubs.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.